As I was sitting here, I tried to put myself in your place. Adam and Eve wrote aches to arthritis and headaches and things like that. But it comes to meetings, you know, conferences. And I know in my Christian lifetime, there was an area in my own schedule where I felt worn out just going to meetings. And as I sat here, I said, I wonder what the reaction of some people might be as they come to these various meetings. But then I also assessed myself as I believe the Spirit of God enlightened me, that were it not that the blind man sat in the same place begging daily, if he wasn't there at that time as well as constantly, as Jesus passed by, if he was not there, the blind man's eyes would never have been opened. Of course, we cannot build anything on supposition. But on the other hand, it brings out a point. You never know when the constancy of coming to meeting, to a conference, or the Lord's Day, or prayer meeting, you never know when the Lord might meet you in some unusual way that will make up for all the tediousness that you felt you were going through. So we must always be aware of the fact that there might be a time when you say, no, I'm too tired, I'm not going to the meeting. And it might be at that time that the Spirit of God will have had something unusual that will make up for all the time that you have come faithful. Along that line, turn with me to 2 Kings, the 7th chapter. 2 Kings, chapter 7. Might I also say, by way of parenthesis, that I have been here previously. I, as far as I'm concerned, am not an earth-shaking speaker. As far as I can know, and my wife assures me that I'm right, I'm not an outstanding personality. And as far as I know, if you do get anything in this company, credicate it to the Spirit of God himself. We are living in days when if the personality with the marvelous gift of elocution and has a privilege that's beyond the average individual and holds you spellbound, and can take the text of Scripture and give you very many things to really stir your thinking. But what we are concerned this evening is this, not belittling those of whom I have just spoken, but we are concerned more with Christ in the soul. Because it is that kind of an experience that keeps lasting while the mental process has forgotten all the things that were given previously. For he within warm and quiet and strengthened. He within has a communication with that soul of yours that keeps you steadfast and unmovable. So let us go on understanding one another. In that, if I don't come up to expectation, thank the Lord for it. So if you receive anything, it's the Spirit of God who has done it. So we read here in chapter 7, then Elijah, at chapter 7, verse 1, then Elijah said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then the Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might the thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. And there were four leprous men at the entering of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say, we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall die anyway. So what's the difference? And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there, for the Lord had made the host of Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even a noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites, and the kings of the Egyptians come upon us. Wherefore, they arose the blood in the twilight, who left their tents and their horses, and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent, and getting to drink, and carried them silver and gold and raiment, and went and entered it. And came again and entered into another tent, and carried them also, and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, we do not dwell. This day is a day of good tidings, for we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied, and asses tied under tents as they were. And he called the porter, and told him to see house within. So we have here this account. What has that to do with your thinking mark that I had made about coming to meeting? And sometimes it's laborious, sometimes it's tedious, and we wish we could take a little time off for ourselves and a little recreation. So I want to notice this. If these lepers were not constantly sitting on the outside, then something of this nature would not have taken place, and the nation would have perished. But there they were. And as they sat there, as leprous as they were, an outcast of society, not worth much, either to the porter or to others, let alone the king or the nation, they nevertheless were wise. They were wise. And it reminds me, and hold your place here, of Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter. And in Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, we notice something there about a wise man. And in Ecclesiastes 9, verses 13 to 15, we read this. Verse 14, there was a little city, and few men within it. And there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and put great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor, wise man. And by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no man remembered that same poor man. Here there was four of them. Socially, politically, physically, emotionally, they were misfits. But even though misfits, they were constantly there at the gate, sitting there hoping for some kind of pity, some kind of provision. And they began to reason amongst themselves. They said, die we will. So if we go there to the area where the enemy is, they don't treat lepers like this field does. For there was a great man who was a leper. And he came to a prophet who told him to go and walk to just 7 times in a pool. He finally did it and he was healed of his leprosy. The people, the citizens were concerned about lepers. Couldn't do a thing for them. So they said, if we sit here, we die. The Syrians are more compassionate to our condition. But if they want to kill us, we will but die. What difference does it make? So they went. They went. Beloved, I have already gone to 48 years of the grace of God. And I am gradually learning a principle. I've known it doctrinally. I've known it theologically. I have taught it. I have memorized it. But it isn't doing much good. But here it is amplified in what has been coming more strongly to my feeling as well as thinking, that when we are willing to lay our life on the line, then God begins to work. They said, we'll die if we remain here and if the Syrians want to kill us. What difference does it make? We have nothing to look forward to but dying, and they were willing. But you know, the whole nation profited by it. So what Elijah had prophesied came past, even though the individual on whom the king's hand was leaning thought otherwise, the word of God tells us this in verse 15 of 2 Kings 7. And they went out after them unto Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels, which the Syrians had cast away in their haste, and the messengers returned and told the king. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. When their appetites were satiated, when the people were saved from starvation, when all things came to pass, do you know who was forgotten? The lepers. The lepers were forgotten. And as I look at you, I say to myself, I haven't reached some of your ages as yet. But as I look at you, I wonder if you have set yourself in the process of your pilgrimage journey as what good am I? Wherein have I been used? I feel as if I am being used ulteriorly. I feel that my life isn't worth much. And if I have tried to do something, somebody else gets the credit for it, and I am forgotten. You may think in the category of birth that you are insignificant, and that's a very poor attitude to take. If you were that insignificant and worthless, you could rest assured that heaven would not be empty of its most glorious treasure. The Son of God would never have been sent if you are that worthless. No, you are worth much more than men would recognize about you or give a due credit where credit is due. These lepers were forgotten. In the haste of self-gratification, those who are used by the Lord, be it ever so small, ever insignificant in the category of men's estimation, even of Christian's estimation, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee, said the Lord to Benedictio. And it's exemplified right here concerning these lepers. Hold your place here and turn with me to Malachi, the third chapter. In Malachi, chapter 3, you notice something here. The third chapter, verse 16. And there we read in 3:16 that there was apostasy. And it was rank apostasy. It infiltrated and corrupted the whole nation. And in the apostasy, there were a few who were not really recognized. And in the apostasy, they, so to speak, went underground. And when they went underground, it says verse 16, then they that fear the Lord face off in one to another. Now, as far as the status quo is concerned, as far as the nation is concerned, they were the off-scoring. But as far as God was concerned, they spoke one to another, even as these lepers spoke one to another. The lepers may have not been cognizant of the Lord hearing what they were saying, or seeing what they were doing. They may not have recognized it, but the Lord did. So here, the nation didn't see or recognize, but it says, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear the Lord and that thought upon his name. So what? All right, it's a big risk that God put it into a book, which means he knows. So what? So this. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewel, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Were these lepers forgotten? In this day of apostasy, where Christianity is leaving out the offense of the cross and making it very popular, and where there is no offense to the cross, then Christianity is popular. It's proven itself in ages past when the apocrypha was written, in other ages where they sought to make Christ out be what he truly was not, a God of splendor, a wonderful God, and lifted him up into a place that contrary to Scripture, when the offense of the cross is gone, Christianity becomes very popular. Very popular. You have the believers in show business. You have then the believers in high finance, of big corporations to advance us a project contrary to the Word of God and working in a way of principles that are contrary to the Word of God. So when the offense of the cross is gone, Christianity becomes very popular, that there is a remnant. In the whole nation, there were these six or four lepers. They were constantly at the gate, not thought of, not concerned for, not helped. And they began to see. And they were willing to lay down their lives, but God restored their condition, their wisdom concerning others. Child of God, I will not make this long, but I want to drive home this to my heart. The Spirit of God is ministering to both of us. I'm not here to minister to you. The Spirit of God is giving me another chance to hear it for my own soul. That might be true of both of us. I want you to recognize the fact that you are worth more than you realize. Not in eternity to come, but right here on planet Earth. Right here. God remembered their wisdom. Where did their wisdom lie? When they became concerned for others in their own awful, pitiful condition. And then the ungratefulness of the people, when they told it to the porters didn't even thank them. When the porters told it to others, the others were not amazed that these lepers did what they did. When the king heard it and the man upon whose hand the king was leaning didn't even consider these lepers, but beloved, the Lord considered them. The Lord saw them. The Lord was concerned for them. And the Lord recorded concern. Even the prophet didn't even mention them. And as far as the record goes, the prophet didn't even mention it. Not thought of, but known of him. What would it be like if that poor widow woman in the book of Luke, I believe the 21st chapter, what would it be like if she didn't constantly practice of putting in whether it's 1 mite or 2 mites into the treasury? She could have thought about herself. She could have thought of her children. But Jesus saw it. The people didn't hear. No one recognized the poor widow woman in that station of life. No one would consider her sacrifice. But the Lord saw it and made sure that it was recorded. And there she was. Therefore, what I'm driving at is this. You don't have to be wise as the wisdom of this world. You don't have to have the position that perhaps you thought of in your youth and still a middle-aged contemplator and then in a long year to just let you die and say, well, I'm just the run of the mill. No, Brother Bob told me of a man that if there's some uncertainty here, and yes, he was saved. He was in the army, wasn't he? It was a little boy, where was he? What part of the country? Korea. A little boy asked him, "Are you a Christian?" That's all. A little boy, an insignificant Korean boy, "Are you a Christian?" And that gnawed within him. And he had no peace and rest until he came to his Christian. That's all he said. "Are you a Christian?" So notice, not many wise, not many nobles, not many great men of this world. The God takes the foolish things of this world, like the gospel, the foolish things to the wise of this world. Or the insignificant individuals who are believers are foolish by the world's standards, child of God. May I learn, and may you learn, never to find any of the needle seekers, but always come with this expectation, it might be tonight, that the Lord Jesus as you never before. When we come to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, I have 1 more minute. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, would you turn to that, please? In 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. And right there we see something that is really of a great significance and usually passed by. In 1 Corinthians 12:28, "And God has set some in the church, and some, the first ones, apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, then read that word audibly, please. Help. Help. Where? Helps in the government of the church, and then diversity of tongues." That, and I want you to notice verse 29. "Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret?" What word was left out in these questions? Help. He never says, "Are all help." He leaves it out, personally. Why does he leave it out? For this reason. An apostle is only a help. A prophet is only a help. A teacher is only a help. And so, those who act in governmental functions of an assembly or a church, they are only help. That's why in chapter 13, "So I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I am become a song and breath or tinkling cymbal." Alright? Let me do this to your attention. Verse 6, verse 7. "Love beareth all things, love believeth all things, love hopes hope of all things, love endures all things." So, beloved, these four letters, the widow women, they were there. They were a very low position. Say to me in other words, Christ saw them. God saw these lepers. Christ saw this widow woman. And so, the individual to see himself as a help. Because Paul said, "I am not Lord over you. I am a help for you." And child of God, whether it's a cup of cold water, whatever it is, keep on constantly. Others may forget, it is insignificant for their concern, but remember this, he never forgets. Never, never, never. The constancy of these letters and the thoughtfulness that came upon them that the cord is for us, down through the ages, the widow woman, the same principle. And you, whether you are cognizant of the fact or not, everything is recorded and known of him, be it ever so small. But it takes this kind of person, a believer, who is with God, whether it's a cup of cold water, whatever it is, keep on constantly. Others may express with a sense of distance that they are concerned, but remember this. Please never forget. Never. The constancy of these letters and the thoughtfulness that came upon them was the purpose thereof. Down to the ages, the little woman, the same principle, and you, whether you are cognizant of the fact or not, every single disorder and know nothing, who will ever so smith. But a sacred kind of person, a believer who is willing to be obliterated where other believers and people are concerned, and do it solely unto me. The prophets of God, the people of God, the orders that we think upon them, none but the Lord saw it, recorded it, and what lesson from it. So I hope, as we gather together, not that I'm making the plea for you to do here whatever you need, but rather a plea that you'll never know at what meeting the Spirit of God would keep a word in your behalf. So that if you will not hear, you would lose the joy of seeing him in an earth that is different perspective. So we pray. Heavenly Father, what a privilege was given to me to again be ministered to you by God's Spirit. So it might be reinforced on my thinking, feeling, and action. We thank you for thy people who have come. And we pray, our Father, that thou wilt meet them to whatever need they stand in need of. That thou wilt show them a thy constant ever presence wherever thy word is given, and when thy son is being lifted up, bless them, bring them with great expectation from thyself, bring them with a rest, bring them with an anticipation. Use them so that they will feel like Mary having the best her medically sealed in an alabaster box, she already anticipated some joy that was lying in the future as she gave all that she had. Use them in that spirit, our Father, and bless thy people. We commit ourselves confidently into thy hands, conscious of the fact that thou wilt need us where we are and what we need. We ask it, our Father, in Jesus' name, the Lord. He, thy blessed Son, for this day, amen.